Ovid, Grief at Parting. When the saddest memory comes to mind of that night on which was my last time in the city, when I recall that night on which I left so many dear to me, even now a tear falls from my eyes. Now the dawn was nearly here, on which Caesar had ordered me to depart beyond Italy's furthest borders. There wasn't time or desire enough suitable for preparation. My heart had grown numb with long delay. I had no thought of slaves or of gathering companions, not of the clothing or other help suitable for an exile. I was as stunned, just as one who, struck by Jupiter's lightning, still lives and is himself unaware of his life. However, when grief itself removed this cloud of my mind, and at last my senses revived, before leaving I addressed for the last time my sad friends, who were now only one or two of once so many. My loving wife held me as I wept, weeping more passionately herself, with a downpour falling continuously over her undeserving cheeks. My daughter was far away, absent on the Libyan shores, and could not be informed of my fate. Wherever you might look, grief and groaning resounded, and inside was the appearance of a noisy funeral. Woman and man, boys too, lament at my death, and every corner in the house has tears. If it is allowed to use a grand example for a lesser, this was the appearance of Troy when she was captured. And now the voices of men and dogs were quiet, and the moon on high was driving her nocturnal horses. Looking up at her, and by her light making out the capital, which was united with our household gods in vain, I said, "You deities dwelling in neighbouring homes, you temples never to be seen again by my eyes, and you gods being left, whom this high city of Quirinus holds, I bid you farewell for all time." I worshipped the gods with this prayer, my wife with more, with sobs hindering the middle of her cries. Having prostrated herself before the Lares, with hair untied, she even touched the cold ashes with trembling lips, and poured out many words to the unfavourable Penates, not destined to use their power for her lamented husband. Now hurtling night was denying me a period of delay. I touched the threshold three times. Three times I was called back. My feet themselves were slow, being kind to my mind. Having often said farewell, again I spoke at length, and as if going, I gave the last kisses. Often I gave the same orders, and myself deceived myself, looking back with my eyes at my dear children. I was torn, as though I was leaving my limbs behind, and part seemed to be torn away from its body. Thus Metis grieved, when then the avengers of his betrayal managed the horses driven in opposite directions. Then truly the cries and groans of my people rose, and sad hands beat naked breasts. Then truly my wife, clinging to my shoulders as I left, mixed these sad words with my tears, and said, "I can't be separated from you. Together from here we will go together. I will follow you and be an exile, the wife of an exile. A way has been made for me, and the furthest land will take me. I shall be added as a small burden to your exiled ship."